All right, good afternoon. This is the Portland City Council. We are now back in session. Next item, please, Carla.
Item 1345, accept the Oregon Sports Authority's annual report on national and international sports marketing activities and event recruiting services.
Colleagues, the city contracts with the Oregon Sports Authority to provide sports marketing and event recruitment services to bring major sporting events to Portland, including to city-owned venues such as the Veterans Memorial Coliseum and Providence Park. This annual report to the City Council is a requirement of the city's contract with OSA. The city's contract with OSA is managed by the Spectators, Venues, and Visitor Activities Program at the Office of Management and Finance. Let's welcome Jim Etzel, Oregon Sports Authority CEO, and Doug Oblitz, Oregon Sports Authority Board President, to present the fiscal year 2017-2018 OSA annual report. Thank you, gentlemen, for being here today. And ladies, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Doug Oblitz with the Oregon Sports Authority. I'm thrilled to be here. And before I get into my extensive remarks, I do want to thank the mayor and the city council for its ongoing support of our activities. And also wanted to call out the work of the city's representative to our board, Susan Hartnett, who I hear is retiring and has really done an outstanding job in representing the city and helping us through our mission. So with that, I want to call attention to the fact that just 1 year ago, Jim Etzel, to my right, was sitting behind us as our new CEO, and he has now been on the job almost a year, and OSA is a different organization as a result. A lot has happened in the last year. Jim has firmly taken the reins of the Oregon Sports Authority. We've completed a comprehensive strategic plan for the organization. We've tightened up and enhanced our relationship with both Travel Oregon and Travel Portland. We've worked to engage our board of directors in our mission and also reached out to our over 170 corporate members to get them more engaged. We've embarked on a rebranding effort, which isn't quite done, but we're a long ways along with the pro bono help of the Wieden & Kennedy agency. And as many of you are aware, we continue to pursue the chance to completely rethink Portland's marathon and to make it a world-class event, including the possibility of hosting the men's and women's world championship marathons as part of Oregon 21, the World Track and Field Championships, which come to Oregon in August of 21. And also, near and dear to my heart, we continue to grow and make sustainable the Tracktown Youth League, which has provided free track and field meets to over 2,000 kids this year in 15 cities statewide, and an incredible championship meet at Hayward Field, and that event and those activities with kids just continues to grow, and we will be in a few more cities in the coming year. I am a lame duck, along with some other people that I know, with my sorry.
Oh, sorry. Referring to me?
Yes.
That was such a subtle look that you missed it, but I got it.
You got it. Thank you. I just have a few months left of my two-year term. It's been a great run. I've never been more excited about the direction of the Oregon Sports Authority. I think we're on a great path forward, and we look forward to continuing to build our relationship with the city in the coming years. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to our CEO, Jim Etzel.
Thanks, Doug. First, I just want to thank for your time, interest, and support of our organization, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners, our city liaisons, Susan Hartnett and Carl Lyle. We really appreciate everything you do to back our mission. Doug touched on it, just completing my first year, super excited about the opportunity and the potential of this organization, the past history. I knew Drew for 22 years. Drew's still very much checking in on us. We had a great transition. I'm a lifelong resident of Portland. I was away for a few years of my professional career, but started an agency here and have been a longtime member of the Oregon Sports Authority supporting its mission. Also was a board member 15, 16 years ago for a couple-year term. So an organization very near dear to my heart, and I'm super passionate about the direction and future of it. So I'll try to be pretty brief and to the point as we move through this. It was really a remarkable year. Before I jump into it, I kind of want to recognize our staff who are critical to any successes we have. Seated behind me is Meyer Freeman, our COO, a 19-year employee of the organization. To my right, Alex Rudd, and also behind me, Lauren Elgee and Kate Johnson. All are very passionate about the mission of our organization. Jumping into the report, I'll move through it pretty quickly because I know we have a 10-minute time limit here. And as we wind up, if you have any questions and want to go back to anything, please feel free. First off, the events that we held in this 2017-2018 budget cycle and hosted, the highlight had to be PK80, the Phil Knight Invitational celebrating his 80th birthday, was the hands down the greatest college basketball tournament in the history of the sport. 16 teams, some of the biggest names in collegiate sports. We drew 118,000 spectators to Moda Center and Veterans Memorial Coliseum. It was a great way to showcase some of the improvements and renovations that happened in Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Economic impact of $6 million. The event was televised on ESPN every single game, 32 games, which was remarkable exposure for our community. Excited to report that plans are underway for PK85, and even before then, there will likely be a PK Invitational that would be a four-team doubleheader that could be as soon as 2 years from now, happening on an annual basis, and every 5 years would be the big one. So that's a very exciting and a testament to the success of the concept. We also hosted last February the U.S. Synchronized Figure Skating Championships in VMC. This, while not a huge spectator event, we averaged probably between 1,500 and 3,000 spectators a session. This was a key event for us with Travel Portland. It brought 5,000 visitors, out-of-town visitors, to Portland in February, a slow time for our hotels and restaurants. U.S. Figure Skating said it was the most successful synchronized U.S. skating championship in history. Economic impact was $2.4 million. For the 20th year in a row, we hosted the Little League Softball World Series at Alpenrose. This event, as you may, if you follow Little League at all, both baseball and softball, it's growing in immense popularity. Williamsport with the Little League Baseball World Series is televised. Almost 40 games are televised on the ESPN platform. The great thing about this event for Portland is that we went from 7 games televised to 27 games nationally televised this past year on the ESPN platform. And this is one that a lot of other communities around the country go to Williamsport and try to pitch the merits of their communities to try to draw this away from us. But just met with them recently, and they're firmly here for a handful of more years. But we want to do everything to make sure that it stays here and is part of the tradition. Event bids for the future that we were involved in this past year, the 2021 and 2022 National Association of Sports Commissions Symposium, which we're a member of. We submitted that bid in conjunction with Travel Portland. Grand Prix of Portland, that was more of a sustained conversation, working with stakeholders at PIR in the city that Drew Mihalik undertook starting 11 years ago with a few visits back to Indy to keep Portland on the radar as a possible return of the sport to Portland. And as we saw, Commissioner Fritz, a huge success.
I was
you were there. You were handing the trophy
flag.
Away.
I was a huge success at that.
Did you win?
Actually, there's a stop like about 10 seconds afterwards. But it was really fun. And actually, what it's interesting that when I'm out in the community, that's one of the things that people come up to me and say, thank you for bringing the Indy cars back.
Yeah, I think it was a tremendous first year that exceeded expectations, and I think there's nowhere but up to go. And I know Travel Portland was thrilled with it. Labor Day is really the only slow weekend of the summer, and there was a 7,200 room night lift over that weekend directly attributed to the race.
And Commissioner Fish and Mayor Wheeler, I think it's coming for two more years, so you'll each get a turn of doing the green flag. It's really fun.
We also bid for with Travel Portland for the 2020 National Veterans Wheelchair Games. We are in the final throes of formalizing this agreement, so this looks like a win. It's the largest wheelchair disabled sporting event in the world, and we expect 6,000 room nights and 700 veterans coming to Portland, Oregon. There's a lot of fun things that we have in mind to celebrate them and their accomplishments and competition. We continue to pursue an NBA All-Star Game bid for Portland. The Blazers really are the lead on this, but we step alongside and from behind to support in the ways that they ask us to. We went to Los Angeles this past year as part of the bid effort. We didn't win in the cycle, but the Blazers are very optimistic, and our chances continue to improve, especially with all the hotels in downtown Portland coming online. Also, the 2022 NRSA, which is the National Intramural and Recreational Sports Association, 3,000 recreation professionals, mostly from universities around the country, coming to Portland in 2022, successfully bid for that. And as you're aware, we have submitted our bid for a bold vision around the Portland Marathon to really, we think this is the opportunity to create the next sports franchise for Portland. Future events. This February, we are hosting the 2019 NCAA Women's Regional Finals in Portland. This is the first of two consecutive years. We have three out of the next 4 years in the bid cycle. We are hosting NC2A basketball competitions. We have a year off in 2021, but then in 2022, we have an opening round men's game. We're the only city to receive three tournament years in this four-year cycle in the country. So that's a testament to what we've done in the past, and it's something for us to build on. We see a real opportunity around attracting someday a women's Final Four here. We think it's a perfect fit, the way women's athletics are supported in our community. And with the success of Oregon State basketball in women's in the NCAA competitions, we also see the opportunities for NCAA Final Fours in volleyball, Frozen Four in hockey, and the possibility that we're already working on with University of Portland and the Timbers and Thorns to host NCAA Final Fours at Providence Park in men's and women's soccer. So exciting opportunities. Projected economic impact on this is $3 million. I think it's also worthy to note we put together a local organizing committee that's led by a lot of our business leaders that have enthusiastically jumped in, so we think we're going to be able to demonstrate why we're the perfect site for future competitions. 2019 USA Softball Men's National Tournament, Delta Park venue, another city venue, 1,200 to 3,000 visitors, and this is we helped Portland Metropolitan Softball Association land this bid, both with ancillary support and financial support. From a franchise update, obviously we had nothing to do with it, but we loved it that both our soccer teams made it to the championship match. I think a great testament to them. But around Major League Baseball and the opportunities there, the Portland Diamond Project, we have helped in numerous ways, both from the city side and from Portland Diamond Project, in trying to facilitate conversations, whether it was at the Port of Portland or putting together an independent panel to provide feedback on some of the inner workings of sports franchises. We're working closely with Susan and Carl on driving the conversation to see if it's a possibility about with the new Lincoln High School facility, if that could be a little bit bigger in vision, that could include Portland State, but also be a home for OSAA championship events and other events that we could pursue if we had an urban stadium that was 6,000 to 7,000 seats or larger. So it's an interesting conversation, and I have to commend all the parties that are involved. They're very committed to seeing if this is can be brought to reality. Community Impact, Tracktown Youth League. We've expanded this again this past year from 13 events to 15 events. We had 2,300 participants statewide. This is really a neat one to observe Alex and Lauren and Kate execute this 15 events in 40 days around the state, quite the roadshow. We introduced one more meet this year to Portland, but we had the events at Roosevelt and David Douglas High School, and that was very purposeful the way we located those in our community. Street Soccer USA is another favorite. We helped launch this chapter in Portland, the first chapter outside of New York. It provides accessibility to soccer for homeless youth or those in danger of being homelessness. We're also looking at potentially hosting future regional or national championships here because of the success of this, and we've expanded the programs both in East Portland and Southwest Portland community centers. Finally, through the Oregon Sports Awards and the Play It Forward Fund, this is a grant program for community impact funded by Nike and Providence through the Sports Authority Foundation. We also have a number of what we call MVP Club donors, about 12 individuals that step up. So far, we've impacted $45,000 of grants, $5,000 grants. All these are geared towards nonprofits with budgets less than $700,000 annually that get kids physically moving and keep them moving. We also have a program where we recognize high school and college athletes who show sustained commitment to the community to be role models and work with these charities to get these kids active. And we present the top high school and college winners with scholarships. And we expect our impact through this cycle to be close to $70,000. That is our report. And open to any questions you have.
Very good, colleagues.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I think it's provocative, and I want to make sure that we continue to move forward and exploit any opportunities that are out there. I guess I had a sort of one question as you were going through the presentation, other than the obvious question of, was that guy playing football with a cast on?
Yeah.
And can you actually do that? But the question of women's athletics, and I really appreciate the fact that you have seen that as a niche that we are in a really good position to be able to build upon or leverage. And maybe you could clarify a statistic that I have heard, and I don't know honestly if it's true, but if it is, it's something worth stating here. I have heard that the Portland Thorns is like the most viewed women's sports franchise in the world or some iteration of that. Can you tell me what the statistic is?
Yeah, the Thorns are the model professional sports franchise for women's sports, no matter the sport, you know, basketball, soccer, anything. They lead the world in attendance for a franchise in women's sports. And so they have traveled around the world trying to help other communities lift the profile because they're seen as a model.
So why are the Thorns so successful in Portland, and what does that say about the community, and how do you use that to leverage some of these other opportunities around the women's Final Four in basketball or other sports?
Well, if you look at historically, the community has supported women's sports very strongly, going back to high school state championships in basketball, not just the Portland community, but when the championships were held in Salem, standing room only crowds down there and at the Child Center. Then you look at the college soccer at the University of Portland, led the country in attendance for 12 straight years, routinely drew on average over 4,000 fans a game to college matches at Merlot Field. That set the Clive Charles started. That set a tone, the success of Oregon State women's basketball and the way they draw fans. I mean, they both draw 7,000 to 9,000 fans a game. I think it's something that's in the DNA of our community here and how they embrace women's sports. You know, it's interesting that young girls drop out of sports at a rate 7 times higher than boys do. I would like to dig into those statistics in Oregon because I bet you we're we're not at the national average. We're doing much better than that.
And I would be interested just how all of these dots are connected. Can you connect that to public health outcomes and other disparities that might exist? And I would like us to think broader about this. I understand your mission and what we have charged you to do speaks to travel and tourism and
quality of life is big.
So multipliers and all of that. But it also speaks to a lot of other broader community and civic objectives that we have, not the least of which, by the way, is civic pride.
Yeah.
And I hope we think about how to work with other institutions maybe outside of just the sporting arena and start talking about some of these other outcomes. Now, this is a huge employment opportunity. Mm-hmm. All these different sporting opportunities and sports franchises, we're looking for pathways to education and job training and employment, particularly but not exclusively for young people in our community. And every one of these things look really exciting and interesting to me. So I just hope we can think broader about how to do that.
Absolutely. I have just a quick comment on that. You know, we think we aren't leveraging what we have here enough. The successes in women's sports from a spectator standpoint, participation standpoint, but also we're the global epicenter of the sportswear and sports footwear world. What Portland designs, 80% of what the world wears was designed and originated in Portland, Oregon. And we need to put a stake in the ground and how we leverage that for job growth. I mean, there's 800 companies in the universe around Nike, Adidas, and Keene, and Danner, and on and on and on. And that is an asset, this community, that we can look to leverage. We're exploring and in conversations about creating global conferences because everybody around the world wants to come and listen to the brain trust that's in our community. And it's something we own and we shouldn't let go of. And we're looking for creative ways to leverage that because it does lead to job growth and community benefit in so many ways. And I think sports, as we all know, unifies our community. It's one thing where we put our differences down and look at our passionate fan bases around the Blazers and the Timbers and the Thorns. And it's a cross-section of our community all coming together for one good. So everywhere we can leverage that, we're going to try to make this a better place.
That's awesome.
I had a couple one quick anecdote. In our Tracktown Youth League Championship meet at Hayward Field last year, we had over 400 kids from around the state participate, and I got to hand out the awards. And I looked over, and there was a young lady who had come earlier in the day to watch the last day of the NCAA Women's Championship, which was they were given free tickets to see the meet before we held our meet. And I looked over and she was getting ready to go up on the award stand to get her award, and she was practicing making the O. And she had seen the University of Oregon women doing that on the championship stand at the NCAAs, and she was practicing. And I didn't actually notice, but Alex told me after the fact that she did indeed do that up on the stand. So if we inspired one young lady, you know we can inspire a lot through the programs we're doing.
That's awesome.
Dan? I was curious, are we too small to host a Final Four in men or women's basketball?
We're not too small. We can definitely host the women's Final Four because it's held in arenas the size of the Moda Center.
Okay.
But the men's Final Four is an unattainable goal at this time unless they have a philosophical change right now because they go to communities that have large dome multi-purpose stadiums because they try to put 60 to 70,000 people in a building, which only about 10,000 of them are good seats, but everybody likes to go. So, but everything else is attainable.
College wrestling, is that something we've ever pursued? Is there an NCAA tournament?
Yes, there is an NC2A championship. We haven't targeted that yet, but that's something that we could definitely work with Oregon State and possibly Portland State as a host deal. We can explore that. We're looking at the ones that can bring the most economic impact to start with, and then we can kind of build from there. What's interesting, for instance, around the volleyball championships for women's volleyball in the NC2A, it's not just the Final Four, but there's over 2,000 youth players that come from all around the country in to participate in tournaments around the community at that time, so that fills up a lot of rooms. And also the National Coaches Convention would happen, so that would bring in excess of 1,800 attendees that would fill up the convention center also. So there's interesting ancillary deals. Same thing with men's and women's soccer. The coaches conventions happen at that time, and with women's soccer, there's an elite youth girls tournament that would come along with the women's Final Four.
Thank you.
Do we know what the leverage is if there's an event in Eugene around track and field? Do we know what the residual benefit to the greater Portland community is? Does somebody measure that kind of economic impact?
Yeah, I don't know if we have precise numbers, but what we know is that most of the visitors for the Oregon 21, the World Track and Field Championships, their gateway will be the PDX. And so we're quietly working right now to make sure that Portland is at the forefront of that event, and that when people come through Portland, there's going to be something really great for them to either participate in or go see. And those plans will emerge over the next year or so. But we're working closely with Oregon 21, and in addition to the marathon event, which we're actively pursuing, we're trying to bring additional events, including a potential convention that they hold as part of the IAAF championships, which could occur at the Oregon Convention Center. So we will be fine-tuning those numbers and understanding more about the total number of visitors that will occur, and we can report back on that.
Very good. But at any rate, we should be cheering for any sports opportunity in Oregon that brings people in, right?
Yes,
absolutely. We should be doing what we can to help leverage those opportunities.
Yes, and because of the other tourism that exists around our state, the coast, the gorge, the mountains, the Central Oregon, what we see and what Travel Oregon, Travel Portland see is people that come for events here often put shoulders on it, and they go because they always want to come to Portland or Oregon, and this was their opportunity or excuse, and now that allows them to go to the coast and see something they've always wanted to do, or the gorge or the mountains. So those are things that we're trying to spread the benefit of that visit beyond just being at the site.
So do we have that level of coordination now around the state on these types of events? Are we all communicating? Are we sharing ideas and information?
We meet with Travel Portland every month. We probably talk to them multiple times every week. Same thing with Travel Oregon, not quite as frequently, but we're in contact with them every month. And we're starting to look at ways that we can work and align together to really achieve mutual goals, but take them another notch or two up the ladder than we currently are at.
Fun.
Yeah.
Very good.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
We have a motion from Commissioner Fritz and a second from Commissioner Saltzman. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Thank you very much for your work. The great Parks Commissioner Charles Jordan said that parks are more than just fun and games. Similarly, sports is more than just fun and games. There's 7,200 hotel nights over Labor Day weekend for the IndyCar. And when I asked, when I was giving my little speech on stage, I asked people to raise their hand if they were from out of town, and pretty much everybody was from out of town, although there was still, as I say, a lot of people are stopping me in the grocery store saying, do it again, do it again. And it is fun and games. You know, in the end of the day, you watch a game and you forget some of the rest of your troubles, at least for the duration of the game. And I appreciate that. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I wanted to just, thank the Oregon Sports Authority. I think you do a great, fantastic job in being sort of the point of contact and point of going after events. So, and they do serve our economy and our civic pride well when we have these events here. Very excited to hear there may be future PK tournaments. That last one was incredible. And so I just I hope there's more things like that. And thanks, Doug Olblitz, for your long-term enthusiasm around sports and athletics. So please vote aye.
Wheeler.
I want to share my thanks. And, Doug, I also want to appreciate your leadership and your guidance and some of the tremendous vision that you have imparted on us and the rest of the community over the years. I know you're not going anywhere, so you'll still be here and you'll still be actively engaged, but I want to thank you for the formal role that you've played, and I want to thank your entire team in the OSA for the great work that you do. I vote aye. The report's accepted. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Yeah, you too. All right.